Worship 24/7. Worship 24/7. Paul begins chapter 12 of Romans with the word therefore. Therefore. What is the therefore, therefore? The rest of the verse gives us the reason. Therefore, he says, in view of God's great mercies, in view of God's great mercies, offer yourselves as a living sacrifice to God. Offer your lives to him. The therefore relates to all the great mercies of God that Paul has been speaking about up to this point in the letter. The fact that God is a God who has revealed himself to us, as we see in chapter 1. The fact that even though we have sinned, the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, as he mentions in chapter 3. The fact that we have been justified through faith, and so we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, as he speaks of in chapter 5. The fact that there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And the fact that God has given us his Spirit, and through his Spirit we are able to cry out to him, Father, Abba, as we read in chapter 8. And so he goes on. And Paul is saying that in the light of all these mercies, it's only right and good that we should offer back to God, as it were, our lives, our bodies, our very existence. And so he says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercies, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. This is your 24/7 worship. Notice some of the words there: offering, sacrifice, worship. They're all really making the same point. Dedicating all that we have, all that we are, to him. The word sacrifice, of course, would have had special significance for Paul's Jewish readers. They were very familiar with the various animal sacrifices that are spoken about in the Old Testament. And those sacrifices were a very vivid symbol, aren't they, of complete offering, of laying everything on the altar, holding nothing back. On a lighter note, it reminds me of the joke about the chicken and the pig walking along the road together, chatting. And they pass a restaurant, and there outside is a board advertising fried eggs, £2. And below it, fried eggs and bacon, £8. And the chicken says to the pig, you know, that's not really fair, is it? My eggs are rated at £2. You add in a bit of your bacon and it jumps to £8. No, replies the pig, that's very fair. Don't forget that for you, it's just a donation. For me, it's a total sacrifice. It's a total offering. And for us too, it should be a total offering. Although, as Paul says, it is a living sacrifice, unlike the dead sacrifices of the animals in the Old Testament. And Paul touches again on this idea of this offering of ourselves, but even though it is a sacrifice, it is something living. He says in Galatians chapter 2, I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. I've been crucified with Christ. It speaks of a sacrifice, doesn't it? Of a dying. Nevertheless, I live. I'm a living sacrifice. Yet it is not I who live, but Christ who lives in me. It's like the seed that Jesus speaks about in the reading that we heard from John's Gospel. That seed remains a single grain until it sacrifices its life, until it falls into the ground and dies. And then it is able to produce a rich harvest, to produce much fruit. As I mentioned earlier, I've been speaking quite a lot lately about worship, although worship may be in the narrowest sense of time devoted to worship with others, worship on our own, time set aside specifically for those times with God. But today we are being reminded that worship is about all of life. It's 24/7, 365. And yet it needs to start, I believe, with those specially set aside times. If we don't start with those, I believe it's unlikely that we'll get it right for the rest of the time, the other 24 hours of the day or the other 7 days of the week. Brother Lawrence became well known for his book from many centuries ago, The Practice of the Presence of Jesus. The Practice of the Presence of Jesus. He was able to develop a continuous connection with Jesus, whether he was washing dishes in the monastery kitchen or whether he was in worship in the chapel. Eugene Peterson's translation of Romans 12, verse 1, in his translation, The Message, brings it out for me very well. It says, take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. What can help us to achieve that ongoing connection, that continuous attitude of worship? One thing that can help us is to be constantly thankful. To be constantly thankful. Thankful for the small and the big things. And expressing that gratitude moment by moment as they cross our minds. That helps us, doesn't it, to keep our focus, our attention on the Lord. Paul says this in one of his other letters. He says, rejoice always, pray at all times, give thanks in all circumstances. Rejoice always, pray at all times, give thanks in all circumstances. And there's the connection between those, isn't there? Rejoicing, giving thanks, enables us to be in an attitude of prayer constantly, at all times, in all circumstances. Another thing that can help us to maintain that constant attitude of worship and devotion is something that Paul refers to in these words in one of his letters. He says, whatever you do, do it as to the Lord. Whatever you do, do it as though you were doing it for the Lord. If we live our lives and do the things that we do with the Lord in mind, doing them not just for ourselves or for other people, then we are more likely, aren't we, to keep that connection, that ongoing connection with Him. There's a lovely story told about a bus driver who came to know Jesus and whose life was changed in various ways, including in his approach to work. And so in the morning, when he first stepped into his bus, the first thing that he would do would be to say again, this is not just a bus, this is a sanctuary. This is a place of worship. And here I will seek to bring praise to God and glory to Him through the day. In what I do and what I say, I'll seek to see Him in the passengers who step onto the bus and ask the Lord that they can see something of Him in me. Whatever you do, do it as to the Lord. Linked to this point is something I mentioned last time, the fact that, as Paul says, our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. For believers with God's Spirit in us, our bodies are, he says, a temple of the Holy Spirit. And a temple is specifically there for worship, isn't it? And so our bodies are like mobile places of worship, a bit like the tabernacle of the Israelites as they traveled through the wilderness, a tabernacle that was mobile, that they would set up and then take down again as they moved on. And so for us also, all of life can be an act of worship. In the words of a hymn, "Fill thou my life, O Lord my God, in every part with praise, that my whole being may proclaim thy being and thy ways." What will you be doing this time tomorrow? Will you be at work? Will you be in the kitchen? Will you be at your computer? Will you be walking the dog, maybe? Try and picture what it is that you'll be doing. And now think for a moment, what will it mean to be doing that as to the Lord? What will it mean to offer that activity as an act of worship to Him? Like that bus driver, we can think of our office or our kitchen or the sky above us as we walk as a cathedral of worship. Last week, Rhys mentioned the idea of making one's walk a prayer walk, praying for the homes that one passes and for the community around one. Worship 24/7. But let me say here that in all of this, it's important to keep our motives right. We should want to live in this continuous attitude of worship and devotion, not merely for the sake of being a holy Joe or a holy Josephine, because there is the danger of becoming like the Pharisees. They sought to keep every last element of the law, not putting a single foot wrong as they lived their lives day by day. But for many of them, the motive was simply to, as it were, keep a clean slate before God. And so their motive essentially was a rather selfish one. Our motive for living close to Jesus should be rather about fulfilling the two great commandments, to love God more fully and to love others more fully as well. And living in close connection with Jesus enables us, doesn't it, to display more of the Spirit of Jesus, the life and the love of Jesus, the fruit of the Spirit, as Paul speaks of it: love, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, humility, self-control. Through living in a constant attitude of devotion, I can bring joy and pleasure to God's heart, and I can bring blessing to those around me, and that should be our motive. As we share in spiritual communion in a moment, it's an opportunity to offer our whole being anew to the one who, as we are reminded in communion, has sacrificed himself so completely for us. And so in the words of the hymn, Love, that we see in that sacrament, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. But not just in this moment of communion, but with each new day, through the hours of each day, through the days of the coming weeks. Amen.